Harper Audio presents The Secrets of Happy Families. Improve your mornings. Rethink family dinner. Fight smarter. Go out and play. And much more. By Bruce Feiler. This is the author. All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Leo Tolstoy. Introduction. Why we need new thinking for families. It was the first night of our annual family get-together in August. For four generations, my family had been gathering every summer on Tybee Island, Georgia, just east of Savannah. We held raucous family meals of steamed shrimp, corn on the cob, and mudslinging over politics. We worked together on eccentric art projects using bottle caps and misplaced dominoes. We got stung by jellyfish. My grandfather had taught us blackjack in that place. I had my first kiss there. My wife Linda had so embraced the island, she suggested we name one of our twin daughters Tybee for this quirky paradise. Our other daughter was named for her own magical garden, Eden. But now, that paradise was on edge. Linda and I were the first to arrive. Our girls were 5 years old now, and we had survived the parental death march of sippy cups and diaper caddies. But we were flummoxed by a new set of challenges. Getting the family up and out the door every morning. Wrangling our kids to sit through dinner once in a while. Remembering to flirt with each other occasionally. On top of that, I had forgotten to pack the girls' stuffed animals that morning, meaning I would be sleeping on the cold side of the bed at exactly the moment we were supposed to be having vacation sex. My sister and brother-in-law, who arrived next, faced their own trials. Prying their adolescent son from his Nintendo. Pushing his tween sister to do her chores. Preparing their kids for the onset of bullying, cliques, and peer pressure. My older brother, who came last, warned us that it was time to have some tricky conversations about mom and dad. Had the moment come to switch dad to a wheelchair full-time? Was mom's eyesight so weak she should stop driving at night? Should they sell their house and move closer to us? Should they sell their house and move farther from us? I felt like a piece of bologna in the sandwich generation, squeezed between aging parents and rising children. Sure enough, that night all the tension boiled over. As we gathered for dinner, I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. My nephew was texting under the table. I knew I shouldn't say anything, but I couldn't stop myself and asked him to put it away. Kaboom! A mushroom cloud erupted. My sister snapped at me not to parent her son. My mother huffed that all the grandchildren could have better manners. My father pointed out that my daughters were the ones balancing spoons on their noses. My brother harumphed that it was impossible to have an adult conversation anymore, and my wife threw up her hands and went to retrieve ice cream for the girls, exactly as her mother would have done. But they haven't finished their vegetables, I complained. But Mom promised us banana splits, they cried, dissolving into sobs. That's it, girls, I said. We're going to bed. That sent the girls sprinting to the far side of the house, and eventually everyone retreated to separate rooms. Later that night, my father called me to his bedside. There was a quiver in his voice, a palpable sense of fear I could never remember hearing before. Our family is falling apart, he said. No, it's not, I said instinctively. It's stronger than ever. But lying in bed that night, I wondered, was he right? Were we descending the slippery slope of dysfunction? What is the secret sauce that holds families together? What are the ingredients that make some families effective, resilient, functioning? Happy. Like everyone we knew, Linda and I were baffled by these questions. Now that our children were becoming their own people, the challenges of developing a family culture seemed more nebulous and more acute. Our girls were in the golden years of childhood, from the first step to the first kiss, from potty training to the prom. when we would have our best hope of cultivating a family identity. But while the world overflows with advice about breastfeeding, sleeping, and tantrums, smart thinking about later childhood is harder to find. Maybe it's because those problems are gnarlier. Navigating nap time is child's play compared to navigating screen time. How do you teach kids discipline while making sure they have fun along the way? Is it possible to develop timeless values in a 24/7 world that prizes novelty and coarseness? How do couples find time to nurture each other while spending so much time nurturing our kids? Whenever Linda and I have these questions, we turn to our parents, even though their experience is so outdated, it's almost quaint. Or we turn to Facebook, even though our friends are just as clueless as we are.